I spent a little time tonight talking about the two debtors. This is one of the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are quite some good lessons, always good lessons, of course, but there's some things in here that can help us to think about things that are important. So in Luke chapter 7, and I'm going to read from verse 36, Luke 7, and I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering him, said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. And if I recall, a denarii was a day's wages at this time. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." I had to resist, as I read through this, making my comments, because it's just so rich in what is here. Here's a Pharisee, and his name is Simon, and he wanted to know more about Jesus. So Jesus was going about, and his reputation was there, and Simon had heard about him, and so he invites this Jesus into his house. And Simon, as we read, did not show any of the customary courtesies to a guest. In that time, it was very common to have a servant to wash the feet. We know from John 13 how Jesus used that. I won't go into that, but it was a thing that was done because as they traveled in the dust and they wore open sandals and things, their feet got dirty. And so that was just a courtesy. And the culture, there was a greeting of a kiss, and we see that even today, kissing on both sides of the head and that sort of thing. That's talking about. And I think there's a note here that Jesus accepted the hospitality of all kinds of people. He knew what this Simon was and probably what was in his heart, but he goes to his house. And they were at table, and you've been taught this, I know, but the table was a very short table, and they reclined. They laid on one side, and they would be that way to the table. It wasn't sitting at chairs like we do around the table. And it was not unusual at all for the houses would be open, and especially a person like this Pharisee, that some of the neighbors would come in and they would listen to the conversations. They would stand around the table, and that's what would be going on there. Well, a woman who most of the commentaries agree she was a town prostitute. She was called a sinner. And the town knew who she was. And Simon the Pharisee certainly knew who she was. And she comes in and she is standing behind Jesus. And she is overcome with emotion. She is weeping, and she is weeping so much that she's able to wash his feet with her tears. That's a lot of tears. And she takes her hair and she wipes his feet, and she has this very expensive alabaster box of ointment, very expensive, and she anoints his feet. This is just utter devotion that she's showing to Jesus. And Jesus, I forget which commentary this was in, but one of them writes, Jesus, only Jesus understood her love. Love interprets love. He is love, and she is just in a act of pure love, unashamed. She knew who she was. She had apparently, you have to read a few things into this, she had apparently met Jesus before and had an encounter with him, and she is now expressing her love to him for forgiving her sins. And Simon, he had no idea what was happening. He was very much offended by what he saw. He was disgusted. He knew this woman. He knew her reputation. But he did not know what was in her heart. He didn't know what was going on here. As we read, he said to himself, he didn't speak out loud, but Jesus knew what he was thinking. And Jesus said, I got something to say to you. And he said, well, say on. Might tend to be too hard on Simon, but there is usually a good reason to avoid people of bad character. So circumstances can determine certain things, but we should not, as Brother Jim has pointed out a couple of weeks ago, don't base our judgment solely on appearance. But Jesus comes to the conclusion that Jesus, I'm sorry, Simon comes to the conclusion that Jesus could not be a prophet. He is called a prophet, but he can't be because he doesn't, he's allowing this woman to touch him. So he doesn't know who she is. Well, I can just imagine Simon's shock when Jesus has read his mind. So let's look at a few lessons of the parable. There are two debtors, and one owes 500 denarii, whatever unit of money you want to put on that, but I think that's a lot of money. And the other 50. And neither could pay. They were equally bankrupt. And the debtor forgave them both. Complete free forgiveness. Of course, in the parable, the creditor has to be Christ. And the two debtors are Simon and the woman. And the debts are not so much here of a degree of sin. Sin is sin. But the conviction of the person, the one that understands the enormous thing that their sin has been forgiven. That's the picture I get here. They are both hopelessly bankrupt. They have nothing with which to pay. And both are offered and freely forgiven. The woman is overcome with gratitude to Christ, and Simon is indifferent. He had nothing to be thankful for because his sins had not been forgiven. And so this woman's expression is the evidence of her forgiveness. It's not the cause of it. And the crowd is puzzled. Jesus restates, your sins are forgiven, and to go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Comments and anything you'd like to contribute. This is very open tonight. I don't have a lot of structured notes. Just some thoughts on this parable of the two debtors. Both Simon and the woman needed forgiveness. They needed the word of God. Simon's invitation for Jesus to come into his house and have food probably was sincere, but Simon didn't have an idea of how this was going to backfire on him. He learned more about himself than he wanted to know. The Jewish rabbis, they would not speak to a woman in public. It wouldn't have to be a woman of the street like that. They just didn't speak to a woman. And they certainly didn't eat with them. And this woman, would not be not only not invited into the Pharisee's house, she just would not be allowed there at all, but she, because it was open, she came in. She knows she's a sinner. She shows evidence of her repentance. In the harmony of the Gospels, if you take the four Gospels and as I'm sure you've done, you have one of these, a harmony, tries to put the various events in order so that you read through it and you read something out of one gospel and then another, and they do the best job they can of putting things in order. And according to the harmony, this happened right after Jesus had given the invitation, "Come unto me and I'll give you rest," that had occurred. But I think it's fair to say this woman had already met Jesus. He had forgiven her sins, and she was expressing her gratitude, her love for that. Simon, as we mentioned, he was embarrassed by the whole thing. Here, he's in his house. He's well respected. He has invited this teacher to come in, and what's happening? This woman has come in and she's just ruined everything. And that's got to be going through his thinking. Simon's problem was spiritual blindness. He did not know himself. It was easy for him to say, "She's a sinner." But he could not say, "I'm a sinner." So Jesus read his thoughts and revealed to him what his need was. This parable doesn't deal, I'm reading from a commentary, with the amount of sin in a person's life, but the awareness of sin in the heart. How much sin must a person commit to be a sinner? Simon and the woman were both sinners. Simon was guilty of sins of pride, and this woman was guilty of sins of the flesh. Her sins were known, and Simon's sins were probably hidden to everybody except God. Some repetition here. He said this commentary says there are two errors we must avoid in trying to interpret the Lord's words. First, we must not conclude that this woman was saved by her tears and her gift. Jesus made it clear that it was her faith that saved her. Jesus did not reject either the woman's tears or her gift of ointment. That was just an evidence of her faith. This is faith. Works coming from faith. This is her, what she's doing. So this woman had the assurance now that her sins were forgiven. And that is the lesson I think we get. Any other thoughts on this parable that we should have brought out?
I wonder if Simon is like a politician who is moderate. And, he's with the Pharisees, but he thinks, well, I'd like to meet with Jesus. He's popular and with the people, so maybe I should get to know him and look like a good Pharisee, you know, and still be a Pharisee. His true thinking comes out when he doesn't provide any of the common courtesies to Jesus.
Not only that, and then he jumps to a judgment about Jesus. Cannot possibly be a prophet because he doesn't know who this woman is. Good point. Anybody else? Anybody? All right, I'm going to quit.